Real quick, before I start the show today, I wanted to let you know that I now have a YouTube channel, and I'm going to have new episodes of the show up on the channel, as well as some short little clips here and there. You can find that at fairlyimportant.com/YouTube, or you can just go to YouTube and type in the words fairly important. I'll be sure to have a link in the show notes. Okay, on to the show. So my parents grew up during segregation, and during that time in America, during that dark period of our history, black people could not go to school with white people, or go to the same diner as them, or use the same water fountain, or even the same public bathroom. And it was wrong and evil, and thanks to Brown v. Board of Education, and thanks to the Civil Rights Act and the Voting Rights Act and the Fair Housing Act, we did away with segregation. And of course, in South Africa, they took segregation to a completely new level through apartheid. It was this revolting system that made it where black South Africans could not vote, they couldn't move about freely, they couldn't live where they wanted to live, they had subpar access to medical services. And while you'd think we're beyond all of that in 2021, we're actually embracing medical apartheid and modern-day segregation. Shocking to me that we're at a place as a country where we are once again telling people, look, you can buy food, but you can't buy food here. Hey, if you want to go shopping, that's fine. You're just not allowed to shop inside this particular store. If you want to go to a movie theater, that's okay, but we're not the movie theater that's going to allow you to be here as a patron. And, look, we're not doing anything to you that's discriminating against you. We're not saying that you can't live your life. I mean, if you want to listen to whatever band you want to listen to, you can on Spotify. But you're not coming to this concert because you are not one of the people that we have deemed are allowed within this facility any longer. You can't be here. You can't go to that Broadway show. We're simply looking out for everybody else's safety, and you are not a safe individual to be around. Now, a lot of people thought that the idea of a vaccine passport system coming to the United States was just crazy. It wasn't going to happen. We aren't a third world country. We're not some Eastern European nation that is a former Soviet republic. That would never happen here. But it's happening here. It's happening now. First, you had the gigantic tech companies like Google and Microsoft tell people, hey, you can still work here, but if you want to work here in person, you're going to need to get the vaccine. Then you had crazy radicals like Bill de Blasio, radicals, by the way, who are foaming at the mouth for this opportunity. You had them say, look, if you want to enjoy New York City, you're going to have to get the vaccine, or you don't get to experience the comforts of modern society. And if you can't see that as segregation, I don't know what to tell you. Now, in case you didn't get to hear Bill de Blasio give this totalitarian edict, I'm going to go ahead and play a little bit of it for you here. And he's really excited about this. He thinks that this is a fantastic idea and that it will save humanity.
So today I announce a new approach, which we're calling the Key to NYC Pass.
All right, I'm going to pause for a moment here because when he says the Key to NYC Pass, you can just tell by the just kind of the smug look on his face. You can tell that he thinks, wow, this is a great idea and also super catchy name. Anyway, here's a little bit more.
The key to New York City. When you hear those words, I want you to imagine the notion that because someone's vaccinated, they can do all the amazing things that are available in this city. This is a miraculous place, literally full of wonders. And if you're vaccinated, all that's going to open up to you. You'll have the key. You can open the door. But if you're unvaccinated, unfortunately, you will not be able to participate in many things. That's the point we're trying to get across. It's time for people to see vaccination as literally necessary to living a good and full and healthy life. The key to NYC Pass will be a first-in-the-nation approach. It will require vaccination for workers and customers in indoor dining, in indoor fitness facilities, indoor entertainment facilities. This is going to be a requirement. The only way to patronize these establishments indoors will be if you're vaccinated, at least one dose. The same for folks in terms of work. They'll need at least one dose.
Okay, and here's another point. He makes it abundantly clear to you that if you merely want to live life as a normal human being, if you want to be allowed in civilized society, if you want to do things like eat at a restaurant or go to a grocery store, or if you want to go to work, if you want to go to your job and earn a living, you have to have this. And if you don't have this, you will not get to do those things. You will not get to participate in normal aspects of human life. Keep in mind, this is the same guy who a few years back was pushing to make it illegal for any fast food restaurant to have a large soda for sale inside the restaurant, because we all know that large sodas are the very thing that is causing the downfall of human civilization. And he's a guy who, during the lockdowns, during the height of the pandemic, when he was shutting down businesses, there were many occasions that he and his wife were seen out in public without masks on. He is a tyrant.
This is crucial because we know that this will encourage a lot more vaccination. We've seen it already. We've seen the impact of the mandate we've put in place for city workers already starting to move people to vaccination. We've obviously seen the positive impact of incentive as well. The goal here is to convince everyone that this is the time. If we're going to stop the Delta variant, the time is now. And that means getting vaccinated right now. This new policy will be phased in over the coming weeks. So we've been working with the business community, getting input. We're going to do more over the next few weeks.
So he says they've been working with members of the business community. And I wonder, are they? Are they really talking to people in the business community? And if they are, is it actually small mom and pop shops? Is it small diners? Is it small local places? Or is it Amazon and Apple and Google and, you know, Microsoft? I don't know.
The final details of the policy will be announced and implemented in the week of August 16th. So over the next couple of weeks, getting more feedback, finalizing the policy, publishing it, and beginning to implement it. We'll then spend most of a month educating people, going out to businesses, receiving calls from businesses, answering questions and concerns, making sure everyone understands the new approach. And then on September 13th, during that week, we'll begin inspections and enforcement.
So the government is going to go and educate businesses, and they're going to answer their questions and their concerns. And I assume what that means is they're going to go and tell them, this is what you're going to do. And then when those small business owners say, hey, I do have a concern, if you don't mind answering this. Mayor de Blasio, you almost destroyed my little Italian restaurant here that's been in my family since my family came over here at Ellis Island and saw the Statue of Liberty that means zero today, according to you. You almost destroyed our family business. So please forgive me if this makes me and my entire family and all of my employees concerned, but we're concerned because we know that we're trying to claw our way back, and yet you are excluding certain people from being our customers on the basis of whether or not they're vaccinated. So as the government comes in and they want to educate these businesses, my question as a business owner would be, hey, what are you going to do to make sure that our business doesn't go under? And the answer is nothing, because they didn't do anything to make sure people's businesses didn't go under when they locked everything down.
So we want to give businesses, big and small, a chance to get acclimated. We want to make adjustments based on their input. But this will move forward starting in the week of August 16th. And then full enforcement and inspection begins the week of September 13th, which is very pertinent because that's the first full week after Labor Day when we really expect a lot more activity in this city. Now, I'll tell you, we know those conversations with the business community are crucial. We've had a lot of them already. What we're hearing from so many folks in the business community is they understand it's time, but they need government to lead. That's going to help them to do what they need to do.
Okay, there's close to 2 minutes left, and I'm not going to subject you to two more minutes of whatever this is. But I do have, like, 3 more seconds of his voice that I'm going to play for you here in a moment. But he says businesses are ready for this, and they just need the government to lead so that they know what to do. And that is not what businesses need governments to do. Businesses need governments to get out of their way and let them have a business. When the government steps in, like they did with the lockdowns, like they do with all kinds of regulation all the time, even when we don't have COVID as a thing, when the government steps in, they kill businesses. So I don't think that there's a ton of, you know, guys running candy shops and things like that. I don't think there's a lot of those people that are saying, hey, government, can you please come here and put more restrictions on us and just show us how to live under those restrictions so that we can really move forward. Like I said, I was only going to play like 3 or 4 more seconds of him because he says something which he's already kind of said in this speech already. And really the whole speech is trying to get across this point, trying to lay it on pretty thick. But he says here, yet again, that if you don't get the vaccine, don't expect to live the life of a normal human being. There is no person in our government that should ever have the authority to do this to another human being. But here he goes and proudly proclaims that if you do not comply, your life is essentially over.
And we also know that people are going to get a really clear message. If you want to participate in our society fully, you got to get vaccinated. You got to get vaccinated. It's time.
And hey, I'm sorry. I know that was closer to 10 seconds of him talking, not 3 seconds. But, you know, and I'm not saying that you are this person. I'm not saying that this is how you're reacting to my reaction to this. But I'm sure there's some people that are hearing me today and they're thinking to themselves the whole time, okay, what is your idea? What do you think we should do? And my thought is, well, I really like what Ron DeSantis is doing in Florida. And he's getting a lot of grief for how he's approaching things in Florida. But here's what Ron DeSantis did. They worked really hard to get the vaccine to as many people as possible. And they're still working really hard to do that. They focused first on the elderly population, because that is the population that is hardest hit by COVID. But he is not going to do mandates. I want you to hear Ron DeSantis here for a minute. And what he is saying here, it is just the polar opposite approach to Bill de Blasio up in New York. And it's kind of beautiful. And he spends the first minute and a half of this speech really tearing into Joe Biden. Because for all the talk that we get from the Democrats that we have to shut everything down, we have to mandate vaccines, people that have vaccines need to keep their mask on, kids that are whatever, 2 and older need to have masks on everywhere they are in public. Ron DeSantis points out here how it's kind of weird that you're getting all these regulations from the left, but they're letting COVID-positive illegal immigrants flood over the border. I think it was something like 7,000 COVID-positive illegal immigrants have come into McAllen, Texas since February of 2021. 7,000. Not to mention the fact that they're not just going to Texas. They're literally putting these people on planes and sending them all across the country. But Ron DeSantis talks about that for a minute and a half or so. And then he talks about what they have done in Florida and what they are not going to do.
Well, thanks. We're excited to be here. And I just want to say something quickly. Joe Biden has taken to himself to try to single out Florida over COVID. This is a guy who ran for president saying he was going to, quote, shut down the virus. And what has he done? He's imported more virus from around the world by having a wide open southern border. You have hundreds of thousands of people pouring across every month. And it's not just from Mexico. In fact, it's rarely from Mexico. You have over 100 different countries where people are pouring through. Not only are they letting them through, they're then farming them out all across our communities across this country, putting them on planes, putting them on buses. Do you think they're being worried about COVID for that? Of course not. So he's facilitating. Who knows what new variants are out there? But I can tell you, whatever variants are around the world, they're coming across that southern border. And so he's not shutting down the virus. He's helping to facilitate it in our country. And what is his big solution? What is he so upset about Florida? His solution is he wants to have the government force kindergartners to wear masks in school. He doesn't believe the parents should have a say in that. He thinks that should be a decision for the government. Well, I can tell you in Florida, the parents are going to be the ones in charge of that decision. And one of the major medical people in his administration just recently told parents that they should be wearing masks at home when they're around their own children. This is insane. Joe Biden also believes that vaccination should be mandated by force of government and that you should have to show vaccination status to be able to participate in society. Now, Florida, we're very proud of our seniors first strategy. You look at the mortality in nursing homes among seniors, it's declined dramatically. But we said from the beginning, we're going to make it available for all, but we're not going to mandate it on anybody. That's ultimately an individual's choice to be able to do it. Biden, he rejects science because he denies the fact that people that recover from COVID have long-lasting immunity. And that's been proven time and time again, and the data is very clear. So his vision is, just like in New York City, restaurants should ban young kids from being able to go in because they're not eligible for vaccination, and law-abiding citizens have to produce proof of their medical records just to go to the gym or attend an event or just to participate in everyday society. He wants that, but yet if you want to vote, he thinks it's too much of a burden to show a picture ID when you're voting. So no voter ID, but have to show your medical papers just to be able to live an everyday life. Give me a break. And so I think the question is we can either have a free society or we can have a biomedical security state. And I can tell you, Florida, we're a free state. People are going to be free to choose to make their own decisions about themselves, about their families, about their kids' education, and about putting food on the table. And Joe Biden suggests that if you don't do lockdown policies, then you should, quote, get out of the way. But let me tell you this. If you're coming after the rights of parents in Florida, I'm standing in your way. I'm not going to let you get away with it. If you're trying to deny kids a proper in-person education, I'm going to stand in your way, and I'm going to stand up for the kids in Florida. If you're trying to restrict people, impose mandates, if you're trying to ruin their jobs and their livelihoods and their small business, if you are trying to lock people down, I am standing in your way, and I'm standing for the people of Florida. So why don't you do your job? Why don't you get this border secure? And until you do that, I don't want to hear a blip about COVID from you. Thank you.
Okay, that was pretty fantastic stuff and gives me hope for society. But look, I get it. No one wants to die of COVID. I do not want to die of COVID. It sounds like a horrible way to die. But we're all going to die. And whether it's COVID that gets you, whether it's the flu or double pneumonia that gets you, whatever it is, we're all going to die. But do any of us want to live in a country where people in the government are telling us that not only do we have to wear masks everywhere we go all the time, school and work and the grocery store, not only do we have to be vaccinated to go to those places to have the quote-unquote privilege of going to the gym, but that even with all of that, you need to wear a mask in your house around your spouse and children, and they also need to wear a mask around you. No, I'm good. I'm good. That is not ever going to be a thing in our house. Ever. And so you can have the way that Bill de Blasio in New York wants to run your life, or you can have the way that Ron DeSantis in Florida wants to run your life. One of those guys actually does want to run your life, and the other guy says, hey, how about you run your life? I know that this is a weird thing. I know that it's something that we're not used to doing ever since COVID came around. We were told 15 days to slow the spread in March of 2020, and people shut down their businesses, and people lost everything that they worked for, and people committed suicide. Men, women, and children, at rates that we haven't seen in a long time. And it went on for months and months and months and months and months. It wasn't 15 days. And then we got the vaccine. And now that we have the vaccine, we're still saying that you should wear your mask. We're still saying that people that don't have the vaccine have to be mandated to have the vaccine. So I know that we aren't used to this anymore in American society, where we run our lives. But one of those guys is saying, hey, I'm going to run your life. And the other guy's saying, hey, well, no, how about, you know, make safe decisions, take care of yourself, but you take care of yourself. The role of the government is not to lord over you. So, yeah, if you say, how would you handle this? That is how I would handle it. Not the Bill de Blasio way. I would go the route that Ron DeSantis is going. I talked about this being medical apartheid, and I talked about it being, it's modern day segregation. Here's something interesting for you. In New York City, can you guess for a moment what the largest demographic is that is unvaccinated? It's black people. I think the statistic that I saw was something along the lines of 60% of eligible black New Yorkers do not have the vaccine. So I kind of find it interesting that by pushing this this vaccine mandate, this key to NYC, as Bill de Blasio so lovingly calls it, by doing this, they're actually segregating black people out of public spaces, out of grocery stores, out of restaurants, out of gyms. It's unbelievable. But whatever the color of your skin is, to tell people, and you know, people will bring up that, well, we've done this, we've always done this. And can someone please tell me where we've always done this? They'll point to how if you're going to Africa, you need to get a vaccine for yellow fever to enter the country. And how countries all over the planet need you to have certain vaccines to travel to them. And I would say if you're going to Africa, it probably would be a good idea to have a vaccine against that. But we have never had a moment in our history where people were told, you need to have a vaccine to go to Walmart. We've never had that. And we need people to stand up and to say, this is completely counter to the principles of freedom that the United States of America is built on. This is modern day segregation. This is medical apartheid. Okay, here comes a quick break, and during this break, you're going to learn how to make a little bit of extra money. Hey, how would you like $30? I mean, it's not $300 or $3,000, I get it, but $30 is still pretty nice to have. You can put some gas in your gas tank. You can, go see a movie or something like that. You can get dinner somewhere. $30 is nice to have. So there's a really cool thing that you can do right now, and it's going to get you $30, and it's also going to give me $30, which helps out the show and allows me to continue doing what I'm doing. I have been using a little thing called Rakuten for a while now, and I'm really enjoying it. And it's a really simple concept. You sign up for Rakuten at fairlyimportant.com/Rakuten, which is Rakuten. You sign up for that for free. And then you shop at all the places you normally shop online. That can be Walmart, that can be Best Buy, that can be Macy's, that can be Target, thousands and thousands of different stores. And when you go through Rakuten, you get cash back on pretty much everything you buy. Tons of things that you buy. Some stores give you 2% cash back. Some stores give you 10% cash back. And I've been earning cash back on a pretty regular basis using Rakuten. So you're going to get cash back when you shop, buying things that you normally buy. But again, if you go through my referral link to sign up and then make a qualifying purchase within 90 days, you're going to earn $30 as a sign-up bonus, and I'm going to earn $30 for you going through that link. So again, if you want $30 and you're going to buy stuff online anyway, go to fairlyimportant.com/Rakuten, Rakuten, and you click the sign up button and you'll be good to go. Okay, back to the show. You might remember a few weeks ago, and follow along with me here for a minute because this does tie into what I've been talking about so far, but also to a larger problem that's happening in our country that makes things like vaccine mandates possible. But you may remember hearing a few weeks ago that the Biden administration informed us that they would be looking at social media posts and at our texts. And at least when it comes to the social media posts, they would be reaching out to Facebook and Twitter and these other companies and saying, hey, this person over here, they're saying something that we don't really like. And so we're going to need you to kind of make sure that their reach, you know, kind of just gets strangled online. We want you to boost this narrative over here, and we want you to snuff out this one. When have we had governments in the past that do everything that they can to get rid of, quote, misinformation? I can think of that happening in China and the Soviet Union. But now you have governments stepping in, and at that point, it is a First Amendment thing. When the government is going to private companies and saying, we need you to shut this down, that is a First Amendment thing. Say what you want about Twitter and Facebook and them being private companies and letting them just do whatever they want to do. It is now a First Amendment thing. And when I think about segregation, modern day segregation, yeah, the vaccine thing is huge. Huge. But, you know, this isn't just about COVID. It's not just about a vaccine. We are okay for some reason. Millions of people in this country are okay for some reason with the idea that, yeah, we should segregate people out of society when they decide that they don't want to have something injected into their bloodstream. We should do everything we can. We should mandate it. We should force them. And if they don't do it, we should just segregate them out of society. It's not just vaccines. It's not just COVID. In the United States of America, there are so many people that are perfectly fine with the idea of segregating people out of society if they say something that woke culture deems unacceptable. Ali Beth Stuckey, she's a podcaster. She's on Blaze TV. She's a solid believer in Jesus Christ. And the other day, she was put in Twitter jail. I was in Twitter jail once myself. And so here's essentially what Twitter jail is. You say something online that Twitter doesn't like, and I'm not talking about, you know, people calling for violence or anything that truly is illegal. But you say something online that does not go with Twitter's left, not left-leaning, but fully leftist agenda, and they suspend you. And they reach out to you and they say, hey, you said this, we didn't like it, we found it hateful or whatever, and until you delete this, you're not allowed back on Twitter. And if you do it enough times, we're going to completely destroy your account. On Thursday of this previous week, Ali Beth Stuckey was suspended from Twitter because she put out a tweet, and it had to do with the transgender Olympic weightlifting competitor, Laurel Hubbard. Now, this is a man who went to the Olympics and was on the women's weightlifting team. And he actually failed. Didn't get any medals. And that's important for me to point out because there's this big debate about how men shouldn't compete against women because it's unfair, because men are typically larger than women and have more endurance, and it's just a biological fact. And here's what Ali Beth Stuckey said that landed her in Twitter jail. She said, Hubbard failing at the event doesn't make his inclusion fair. He's still a man, and men shouldn't compete against women in weightlifting. So she got a notification from Twitter that said she violated their policy against hateful conduct. The note went on to say, you may not promote violence against, threaten, or harass other people on the basis of race, ethnicity, national origin, sexual orientation, gender identity, religious affiliation, age, disability, or serious disease. Anyway, she deleted it in order to be let back on Twitter. And I would like to know what part of that tweet was hateful. Hubbard failing at the event doesn't make his inclusion fair. He's still a man, and men shouldn't compete against women in weightlifting. Was she promoting violence against? Was she threatening? Or was she harassing Laurel Hubbard based on his gender or gender identity? She was literally stating a biological fact. And we now live in a world where if you state a biological fact, one of these gigantic gatekeepers of online speech, in this particular case, it was Twitter. One of these gatekeepers will say, no, we're going to segregate you over here with the crazy people. And you're not allowed back until you erase the crazy thing that you said. By the way, the Daily Wire reached out to her about this, and she said, look, I believe, and I'm quoting this, she said, I believe all people, no matter their stated identity, are made in God's image and as such have great value, but I won't affirm the delusion that it's possible for a man to become a woman or vice versa. I'm for fairness, safety, and rights of girls and women. That means acknowledging biological differences between the sexes. I'm never, ever going to give an inch on that. And she shouldn't. She shouldn't have to. We're okay with segregation now. We're okay with telling conservatives that they're not conservative. They're not religious. They're not traditional. They're just evil, bigoted, hateful, terrible people. And the media and academia and a lot of people in the government have decided that the worst thing anyone could ever do is say something that offends somebody. And that if somebody says something that offends somebody, even if it's true, that person is a hateful person. And for being hateful, they should be silenced. Going back to the whole misinformation thing, and I talked about this at length a few weeks ago, but Jen Psaki, the White House press secretary, when she just openly admitted, yeah, we're going to the social media companies, and if somebody says something about COVID or treatments for it or the you know, the science behind it that we don't think is valid, we're going to tell them, hey, you got to get rid of this. She said, you know, if somebody is removed from one social media site, say it's Twitter, I don't understand why they should be allowed on any social media site. You have someone who is the press secretary for the president of the United States saying, look, if you say something that we don't like, not only should you be removed from Twitter, but you should be off of Facebook, off of Parler, off of Getter, off of Gab, off of any of these things. Because you need to be segregated away from society. Your First Amendment rights do not matter, and you should not have a voice because you're dangerous. It starts with things like COVID. But if the government is reaching out to these social media companies, advising them what should and should not be said about COVID, and encouraging them to stamp things out, how long do you think it will be before the government is reaching out to those social media companies and saying, people can't say things about biological sex. People can't say things about sin or heaven or hell or Jesus or the gospel. People can't question things that the government is saying. How long do you think that's going to be? We are very comfortable, scary comfortable, as a society, with segregating people. And you know what's really sad? When you become comfortable with segregating people because of their vaccine status, when you become comfortable with the idea of segregating people because they are saying things that woke culture isn't okay with, it is not a leap at all for you to become comfortable with segregating people because of the color of their skin. And in fact, the whole segregating people based on the color of their skin was happening and was supposedly the anti-racist thing to do for a number of years here, leading up to people being comfortable with segregating people based on their vaccine status and on them maybe saying something that was disagreeable to some people on Twitter. So it's not a surprise that this is how people think now. And it's actually something that's getting more and more popular. And it's funny because it's typically a lot of woke, white, middle-class college students that think, hey, segregation based on race actually seems like a great idea because our country's so systemically racist, we should segregate the races to make things less racist or something. I want you to hear this. This was a couple of years ago. This is 2019. Ami Horowitz, A-M-I. Ami Horowitz he's a bright guy. And he'll go out and he'll do these man on the street things where he talks to just everyday people. And listen to this. He's going around and he's got a question for some college students. Now, these are Columbia University students, so, you know, they're really bright. And listen to these conversations here. I'm going to talk about modern-day segregation. And do keep in mind that none of the students he's talking to here are black.
I'm Ami Horowitz. Colleges are creating separate housing, graduations, and even gyms for black students and other minorities. So I went to Columbia University to find out what students think about this. Would you support segregated housing for black people?
I think a lot of schools have interest housing where black students can and students of color can live together.
Separate from white people?
Yeah, it's a normal thing on most campuses, I think.
And you guys are cool with that?
Yeah.
It comes from the school saying we're now going to offer black students separate housing.
Yeah, I would support it. I don't see a problem with that.
Okay, I would be supportive of it.
Why not?
I want to be doing with people like me.
It wouldn't change anything for me because, I mean, as you can see, I'm a white person. But if they would be happy,
I couldn't tell. Would you support black students having their own separate graduation?
I'm sure that's what they wanted.
So you'd be okay with that?
Yes.
Separate graduation.
Yeah, I definitely would.
Absolutely. Absolutely, they should have it.
What about kind of black safe spaces?
Yeah, I'm for that. That's
so have like your own space where the black people kind of separate from the white people.
Okay, now listen to what happens when he goes to a black community and asks the same question and also lets them see how some of these students who weren't black responded to him when he asked them.
Wow.
Just several blocks away from the campus bubble in the local black community, the opinions on this issue were unanimous.
Why? Are you going back in time? Why are you separating? We're all together.
Wait, I don't understand the logic there.
I feel like that's basically segregation. We should all graduate together.
I feel that that's segregation and that shouldn't be happening.
It's obviously terrible to separate people by race.
Discrimination might not be the ultimate goal, but people take it that way.
Do you think it's almost racist to do that?
I would think.
It's all about social skills, and if you can't converse with people who are not of the same skin color than you, then there's no reason for you to be social at all.
Separating people by race at the gym? I don't even understand that. Like, what?
It's like white people don't get their feelings hurt when they get dunked on.
Okay, now he's about to go back to Columbia and talk to a bunch of students who aren't black, and just, wow, here's some more.
The landmark case of Brown versus Board of Education overturned the legality of racial segregation based on the premise of separate but equal. But did it really? It's going to be separate. It all has to be equal.
Yeah.
It can be separate, but it's got to be equal, obviously.
Of course, as long as it's equal.
If it's going to be separate, it has to be equal, though, obviously, in terms of what the housing is, the graduation.
Right. That would make the most sense.
So if if you haven't realized it yet, these woke kids who aren't black, they have been taught by their woke college professors that segregation is good and segregation is a way to be anti-racist, which, by the way, anti-racism is completely different than saying that you aren't racist or that you think racism is bad. Anti-racism comes out of critical race theory, which I've talked about in the past, which is a very evil theory that kids are being taught today in all levels of the educational system. And but to be anti-racist, one way that you can be anti-racist is by segregating the races from each other, because this is what this is what kids are taught today. And to kind of drive home the fact that these kids just don't realize how racist their anti-racism is, Ami Horowitz, who, by the way, he is Jewish. Ami Horowitz talks to one other person who happens to agree with these woke college kids on segregating races.
These students are not the only people on board with this type of racial segregation.
Hey, I'm Chris Barker. I'm Imperial Wizard for the Loyal White Knights of the Ku Klux Klan.
Chris and his wife have their own safe space here in North Carolina, where he could be away from all those people who engage in microaggressions. But Chris is really a macroaggression kind of guy. Chris was arrested for stabbing another Klan leader over an argument about who was the most racist. There's this thing going on university campuses where they're trying to separate black people from white people in gyms, in graduations, in housing. How do you feel about that?
I think it's a good thing, and I think it's in people's nature. I mean, it's in everybody's nature to be with their own kind. People are tribal, and we want to be amongst our own selves, and I mean, we're still a segregated nation regardless, and it's always going to be that way.
Are you glad that the left has kind of come around to your point of view?
It would be a good thing if the left continues that way.
If it is separated like this, I hope that they continue.
I'm pretty glad that they're doing it too. If they can stay more segregated, maybe the whites can learn their own culture.
I'm kind of happy about it, truthfully. I'm smiling, you know?
I wonder if there's any other interesting things that you agree with college leftists. Like, do you have a safe space? Are you guys emo? Do you listen to Cardi B?
I don't listen to Cardi B. I don't do emo.
Have you seen Black Klansman?
No, I've refused to watch it.
We think you might be the man to open things up around here.
Okay, that's just him showing the guy a clip from the movie that he asked him if he saw.
Are you guys familiar with Brown versus Board of Education?
Yes.
Do you think that plays into this at all?
I don't know. I have to go study.
kids are learning that we should be separated from one another based on our skin color, based on our vaccine status, based on the things that we say online that people don't agree with. And in the end there, you see this KKK grand wizard or whoever this crazy person was, this radical racist who needs Jesus in his heart and needs to understand that we're all created in God's image. And he's agreeing with everything that these woke kids are saying. Because what they're saying is actually horribly racist. We've come to a place as a society where it's not about having dialogue with one another about things that we disagree on. It's more about we need to shut down other people and we need to segregate ourselves from those people if they say things, if they believe things that we don't, if they are a different color than us, if they don't have a vaccine. For goodness sakes, you wonder why we have become so comfortable with totalitarian moves from our government, like what Bill de Blasio is doing and saying, you're not going to a gym, you're not going to a grocery store if you don't have a vaccine. You wonder why we're becoming so comfortable with Jen Psaki and the Biden administration saying, hey, if you're saying something online about COVID-19 that we don't like, we're going to tell those social media companies to shut you down. And people are saying, hey, that's great. Yeah, shut down the misinformation. Apparently, medical apartheid, segregating people based on the things they say, segregating people based on the color of their skin, all that stuff is cool now. All that stuff is, you know, honorable. It's the good thing to do. I don't know. We live in an upside-down world. Let me know what you think about this. You can either leave a comment over at the website at fairlyimportant.com, episode 35, and that's just the number 35. You can also drop me an email, travis@fairlyimportant.com, or get in touch with me on Twitter, Getter, or Parler at fairlyimportant. Hey, that's all I have to say for today. I really appreciate you tuning in, and I hope you do so again very soon. God bless. Hey, I bet you thought I was gone, but I'm not, and apparently neither are you. If you don't mind, I'd love for you to do me a quick favor. Hit the subscribe or follow button in whatever podcast app you're using right now. I'll also ask you to review the show. If you do a written review, I might even read it on an upcoming episode. You can do that on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, CastBox, Podcast Addict, or Podchaser. Or at fairlyimportant.com/lovethepodcast. Okay, I'm going to go for real now. You can go too.